Most people navigating immigration think that it's all about filling out the right form, but it's not. Hello, this is Scott Berry, host of Immigration Nation. It's more about strategy, timing, and understanding the decisions that quietly determine whether a case gets approved or denied. And nowhere is it more true than with J-1 waivers. One wrong move can cost you years. The right move can completely change your future. Today, we're breaking down what actually drives success behind the scenes, from the biggest mistakes J-1 visa holders make to how top attorneys decide the strongest path forward and where it's quietly destroying cases. If you're serious about turning your immigration journey into a predictable outcome, this episode is going to give you an edge that most people never get. Today, we welcome immigration attorney Kaushik Ranjan. Welcome, Kaushik.
Thanks, Scott. I just love how you really nailed the intricacies of immigration law and how important it is. Imagine if you're a physician training here for 7 years, 7+ years, and then you realize you had to go home for 2 years. And that's what we're talking about with the J-1 waiver. Think of it as a boomerang. It's a boomerang requirement where you have to, you're here, you build a life here, and then you're required to go back. And that's because of the 212E requirement. Basically, it's a way when it was created to ensure that there wasn't brain drain that was happening from getting the best and brightest here and not having them go back. And that's why this 212E requirement was created.
Well, we need to talk about this, right? So we were kind of talking about leaning into strategy a little bit. How would you determine which J-1 waiver strategy gives someone the highest probability of success? Because you're a master at this. This is very much the thing that you guys do at your firm first and foremost. So how do you determine the strategy?
Well, it's very case specific. So it really depends upon each individual. So, for instance, let's say we're meeting with the physician, and there's a variety of strategies that could be available. So, one could be the Conrad 30 program, where the physician's working at an underserved area where there's 30 spots in each state available. Or, two, there's an exceptional hardship waiver. Let's say that same physician was also married to a US citizen. So now you have two options there that we have to look at. And then we have to look at, well, what are the exceptional forms of hardship to that US citizen spouse? Then there's a third option called the no objection waiver and no objection statement, which physicians are not eligible for because they're usually in residency receiving medical training here in the US. And that's a very specific requirement to physicians. But let's say, for instance, if you were a teacher, you could look at that option if your country is willing to issue a no objection statement. And then that same physician could be eligible for working in a VA hospital for 3 years or HHS waiver. So let's look at the same physician. Let's create a hypothetical scenario of this person. So let's say that they want to work anywhere that they and not be working in a specific underserved area for 3 years, then we would start evaluating the exceptional hardships of that US citizen spouse. Because in that Conrad 30 waiver situation, they would need to be working in an underserved area, what's called a health professional shortage area, for 3 years in an H-1B status. They can't apply for a green card until the end of the 3 years. So sometimes physicians in this situation prefer, if they're eligible, to look at a hardship waiver. And if they meet the requirements, so then we would sit down with that physician, look at like what hardships is your spouse facing? Is there going to be a career hardship? Are they a physician too? And are they going to have to go through licensing in the home country and the hardships to that US citizen spouse? It's not to you. Do they have any health issues? Do they have mental health issues? Do they have family ties in the US? And we'll go through and evaluate each one and then see what the better option is.
Yeah, Kaushik, I just read, and you might have seen it. There was a big article in the news last week about a young lady that was a physician in a super small town in Indiana. I've never even heard of it. And somehow there was a slip up or whatever, and the town was at risk of losing their doctor, which, there's nobody else there, right? So it's kind of like what you were describing. Let's talk about the mistakes that a J-1 visa holder could make when deciding whether or not to apply for a waiver?
Well, I think one of the biggest mistakes is waiting too long. This requires early planning, early strategy. And so every time I'm on my YouTube channel or social media, I'm just trying to remind people plan early because, for instance, for exceptional hardship waiver, it could take up to 2 years before an approval. And then you have to have the prep time before that, a couple of months of prep time. So really making sure that you're planning well ahead of time. So you're not, sometimes people will come to me with a year left in residency or fellowship, and then we have to decide, like, do you want to go back and wait for your waiver for a year or not? Or do you want to actually look at other options? Because the process is so long, you need ideally 2 years to have to get the waiver. That's one mistake. And then for Conrad 30 waivers, making sure that you are talking to employers early enough because that's employer sponsored. So you need to have an employer sponsor you. And the timing's a little bit different for that. So let's say you're going to finish residency June 2027. A lot of programs for the each individual state starts in October, and then it differs every state. Every state has different requirements. And you back to what you said about that, how that town like was in peril. You know, this is actually this Conrad 30 program, HHS program, is a backbone to a lot of places where they don't have enough physicians. It's a way that physicians are getting out to these communities, and it's such a great program. So that's why this program is so important for our country, and it's a win-win for doctors, and it's a win-win for the US as well.
Communities, absolutely. So let's say the J1 waiver is approved. What are the kind of the top next steps that someone would need to take in order to secure a green card?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And that also requires planning. And if you are on a J1, if you get a J1 exceptional hardship waiver, if you're married to a US citizen, then you prepare marriage-based green card application. Now, another mistake that I see is premature filing of the green card before the waiver is approved. USCIS is right now taking a stance that at times they will come back and state that you weren't eligible at the time of filing for the green card, so we're going to deny the waiver. It's important to plan that. And also another mistake that I see, not planning. Sometimes teachers, physicians, professionals think that the J1 waiver is a lawful status. It only prevents you from not going back for 2 years. So you have to either apply for H1, have the employer apply for H1B or for a green card afterwards and make sure that that's all getting lined up.
That's brilliant advice that they still have to be responsible for their status afterwards. Great point.
My name's Kosha Grandchild. I've been an immigration attorney who's been practicing for over 24 years. We have a focus in our practice on J1 waivers and complex waiver cases and family immigration. And if you want to get a hold of us, you can reach out to us at 916-613-3553 or email us at info@ranchodlaw. And you can check out our website, j1visawaiver.net. And there's a lot of information and success stories on our website. I also have a YouTube channel at The Green Card Lawyer where I have case studies and we post weekly on different hot topics that are coming on.
Physicians, you mentioned that earlier on, are like high-level professionals. How should they think about immigration differently than maybe an average applicant?
I think high achievers, when you're highly trained, at times people think that, okay, I'm fulfilling my J1 program, I'm doing my residency, I'm working crazy hours, I don't need to do anything else. This is a silent kind of thing that can creep up on you, this 212E requirement. It's a passive requirement, but immigration still expects you, USCIS still expects you to be on top of it, even though they're not breathing down your neck, telling you, you got 212E, you're gonna have to leave as soon as your residency is done. You got a 30-day grace period, but then get out of here. So they're expecting you to be on top of it. They're not gonna be per se necessarily reminding you. And I think you've followed the rules as a physician. You're at the top of your game. You're getting into some of the most competitive residency programs. Anything you're doing, everything right. But immigration law is a little bit different. they're expecting you also to be on top of this 212E requirement, it can creep up on you because you already are working crazy hours, doing so much. And it's also teachers too who are winning awards. And I've been speaking to a lot of teachers that are like winning Teacher of the Year and just doing great things teaching special education. And now they're faced with going back for 2 years when they're winning all of these accolades. There are options. I think people think maybe with this administration, there's not options, but there are options even with for teachers. If there's a no objection, the no objection waivers are getting much denied much more than in the past because of change in policy, but it's still possible to get those approved if you use the right strategy.
Let's talk about, especially in this environment right now, resilience, having the right mindset is really important when helping, families navigate some of these incredibly stressful moments in their lives. Look, we all know this is just a it's the Wild West with immigration right now. I don't know how things could be more stressful for, for even for people on J1. Right. And people, trying to do it the right way. And,
Yeah, absolutely.
what are you learning about that? And what could you share with people about, staying strong and having the right mindset?
Not giving up and knowing that you're going to do everything the best that you can so things will work out in the way that they're meant to work out. When, let's say, you apply for exceptional hardship, that doesn't work, USCIS denies it, then there are options. You could appeal, you could refile. Or you could apply for possibly an O-1 visa. Don't give up in whatever path you are choosing, that you can achieve success by trying different outcomes, trying different strategies, making sure that you plan early. And most of the time, in our cases, they do work out. There are sometimes, especially with this administration, that they don't. And then we have to look at, other options. So it's just important to have that and be. Know that it's going to be a stressful process. Have a way to manage that stress, whether you are going to do like an exercise routine, spend more time with friends, even have a therapist. Because this process is so stressful, like for some of these, like the exceptional hardship waivers, so long, it takes a toll on people, especially the uncertainty, knowing that you can overcome this, it is possible.
Yeah, and I've heard that there's over like 180 visas. The cool thing about this J1 is that you are truly contributing to the local communities and to the country and giving care if you're a physician where maybe it just isn't available at all. So, don't get too frustrated, because these people need you. Stay strong and stay committed.
Well, especially with physicians, I mean, there's a lot of options. You have the HHS waiver, like if you have a HPSA score of 7 or higher, you have the Conrad 30 waiver, you might be eligible for exceptional hardship waiver. Yes, it may not be the perfect thing that you want to do, but there are
You can get it
options
done.
out there.
Yeah. Final question. So what would be the key elements that separate a good case, right, from a winning case in today's environment?
Well, I'm going to talk about some of the most difficult cases right now, the exceptional hardship and no objection waiver. Those, it's really strategy. Now it's really a lot about creating a winning strategy, evaluating for hardship waiver, every single hardship, because it's looking at cumulative hardships. And then we really meticulously work with you on advising you, these are the documents that are relevant to your hardships, reviewing those, seeing that those are relevant, and then having a very compelling narrative. And the way we do that's through a legal brief to make sure that your story is articulated to the government, because that's what you have. You have your paper filing, you're not speaking in front of a judge or anything. It's what the attorney prepares for you. So it's really meticulous preparation and evidence and in the narrative that really and the strategy from the get-go.
Yeah. So J1 listeners, if there's one thing to take away from today's conversation, it's this. Immigration success, it isn't accidental. The strongest cases aren't just necessarily the good cases. They're built with intention by professional legal immigration attorneys like Koshik. They're guided by strategy and they're executed with a level of precision that most people underestimate. I mean, you could just listen to what Koshik was sharing. This is not something you want to try to do on your own if you want to have any level of success. We even talked about the mistakes that derail J1 waiver applicants, the decisions that increase your probability of success, and what happens after approval. I mean, the stakes are even higher then. So, whether you're at the beginning of your journey or already deep into it, remember this: you don't need to leave your outcome to chance when professionals like Koshik are here to help you. With the right strategy, the right guidance, you can move forward with confidence. Koshik Ranjan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. It's been a pleasure.